Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for A Point to Ponder, part of our Let's Talk About Jesus broadcast. We're glad that you've joined us today in the middle of a very, very hectic week that we have had. A lot of things have occurred and a lot more are occurring. We're looking at the last of the last days, not just through the lens of some future events that are coming, but events that are happening right here and right now. And there are things that we need to not be distracted by, that we might keep our focus on our God planned future as children of God. Listen, the devil would have us become sidetracked, sidelined from running the race that is set before us. This is a set race. It's prescribed by God Himself. And I can't help but believe that I and you, if you are a true believer, a true child of God, amen, that we are in the kingdom for a time such as this. I wish this time wasn't the way it is, this perilous time marking the end of the times of the Gentiles, marking the beginning of the day of the Lord that is coming and the soon coming of Jesus Christ for His church. Just before His coming, there would be a perilous time that would occur, and we're living in that very dangerous time. Amen. But we have a purpose to be a witness unto Christ in this world, and His ongoing work in us shouldn't be stymied by us being distracted from running with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh, friend of mine, God has good things for His children in the midst of the crisis, in the midst of the chaos. His desire for us, His purpose for us, the work of His Spirit in us is supposed to be uninterrupted and ongoing. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestine. Predestinate, King of James said, same thing, amen, to be conformed to the image of His Son. The other scriptures say that He's at work in you and me, if we're Christians, right now, using everything that touches and intersects with our life, amen, for that good purpose, that great purpose, that really grandest of all the purposes of God in our life, is to ultimately make us just like His Son. It's progressive now. Amen. Right now, but He is working toward that end for every child of God. So let's don't be so depressed, so beaten down, so distracted, so disturbed, so discouraged and disillusioned that we don't cooperate with God for this ongoing work in us, because He wants to make us this light in this sin-darkened world, make us the salt in this putrefying culture, amen, to preserve it, and so the gospel can find its mark in so many hearts that God is preparing to receive it. We are living epistles, the Bible said. Living epistles. Someone put it this way, we're the Bible in shoe leather. Praise God. We're living epistles written and read of all men. God wants to develop us to where our life, our testimony, our moral commitments, our commitment to follow our Master, to obey His voice in this time of so many voices, amen, that we could be like a city set on a hill. It cannot be hid. Praise God. We don't have to draw attention to ourselves. All we have to do is follow Jesus with all of our heart, with all of our life. Praise God. And be known as Christ followers. Now, earn the name Christian by following Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And one of the things we must do to cooperate with His processes within us, by the way, let me back up just a minute. The scripture said, it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. What work is there? What work is he constantly, committedly, always working? I love that song. Don't you? That song, God's always working. When I can't see it, when I can't feel it, there's a verse of a song that says, but God is always working. Amen. But he's working to a particular end, and that is that we be conformed through his work within us to will and to do what we can't do ourselves. We can cooperate with him and look to him and really let him, amen, by giving him full permission through full surrender to his will to work this work in our life to conform us to the image of his son. But it takes a brand new mindset in order to do that. Amen. We're predestined to that, but it takes a new mindset to do that. That's why the book of Romans says in chapter 12, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service, and be no more conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might be able to prove or exemplify, literally live out, flesh out, that good and perfect acceptable will of God. I'm going to title this teaching. I haven't titled it. Here's the title. Amen. Amen. Are we living that good and perfect and acceptable will of God? Are we living that today? Are we letting God work this work in us? Are we progressively becoming more and more like Jesus? Hallelujah. That's what it means to be a disciple. It means that we are not just learning what our teacher has to tell us, but we're actually becoming who our teacher is. We don't just come to know what he knows. We become more and more like him. He is the template. He is the model. Someone has put it this way, and I never forgot it. Jesus is the man God wants every man to be like. Of course, woman, boy, and girl, male nor female, Christian, we're both predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So that's why Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. In other words, reacting, responding to such great love and mercy as he demonstrated by the gift of his son and Jesus' gift of his life to die for us on the cross, that we would reciprocate, that we would give unto him our body. Not just our physical body, but the container. The body is the container for the soul and the spirit. It's the whole of us in a devoted, surrendered life before the Lord. Offer your body. Offer it. You see the sacrificial tone in this. We're offering ourself, the whole of ourself. Amen. Offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service, and be no more conformed to the world. The pressure is on. That word conform means pressed into a mold. It's like pressing clay into a mold until the clay begins to take the shape of the mold, because it's pressed into the mold. And that mold is the mold of the world, the values of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life is of the world. Amen. Listen very carefully today. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove, I might prove, we might prove, exemplify, live out, flesh out what is that good, perfect, acceptable will of God. Are we walking in it? Are you walking in it? It's the point to ponder today. Amen. If we let God loose in us by this fully surrendered life to him, amen, we give him permission to take over. You know, the Apostle Paul had given God such permission to work this work in him, this progressive, ongoing work that will go on for all our life and be consummated when Jesus comes for us. Amen. But until that day, that work will go on. The Bible said when Jesus comes, we'll know him as he is, for we shall be like him. How's that going to happen? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. We're in a process of change right now. It's going to come to its climax when Christ comes for us. Amen. Mortal will put on immortality, corruptible we'll put on incorruption. Amen. This is going to be a pristine bride that is presented to Jesus, because friend, when we are presented to him as his bride for the marriage supper of the Lamb, we're going to be, amen, a chaste virgin. Not because we have never sinned, but because our sins have been forgiven and God is now treating us as if we had never sinned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's called justification. Praise God, a forensic legal term. But until we get to that change that is wrought by God in us, that we might be a pure bride for Jesus Christ, the work is ongoing. He's cleansing the church. He cleansed it with the washing of water by the Word. You see, it's ongoing. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, become more and more progressively like Jesus Christ today. Is that work continuing in us, in me, in you? Are we giving him permission by fully surrendering our life to him? The Apostle Paul obviously did, and the work was ongoing in him, because he said, it's no more I that live. It's no more I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. Praise God. Jesus is now living, amen, living in him and through him. Praise God. No, I'm not living anymore. Christ is living in me. Of course I'm still me, but I'm not me. The old bogged down in sin darkened, hard-headed man. I'm a man now that's like soft clay. Amen. That God can mold me into his mold, press me into his mold, and not press me against my will, but push me into that mold because of my willingness. Glory be to God. And my cooperation with him. The Bible said it's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. What is his good pleasure? Amen. What is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God? Amen. For us, that we might not be pressed into the world's mold, but we might be put into the mold of Jesus Christ. And the product of the Spirit's work within us to that end is called the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And that just simply means that the Spirit of God is producing within us. And we've got love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, temperance, patience. You've got all of this good stuff, goodness, kindness. What is all of that fruit? It is the very reproduction of the character of Jesus Christ in the heart and life of the child of God. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, he that's begun this good work, we're identifying it. Hallelujah. He will perform it. You see, it's progressive until the day of Jesus Christ. He's always working. He's always working. God is here in our midst and he's always working. When I don't see it, he's working. When I don't feel it, he's working. When I feel like I'm at a plateau and I've at a some kind of dead end, God is at work. Even that dead end can cause me to go one way or the other. That crisis where you have to go to the right or the left because you can't keep going like you're going. Amen. Can bring us to a decision. Even the trouble that created the crisis that the devil means for evil. Friend, we serve a God that is able and determined to make all, for we know the scripture said that all things work together for good. Here's these surrendered people and why they surrender to those who love the Lord. You see, when you love the Lord, you want His way, His will more than your way. I'm going to say that again. When you really love the Lord, you want His will more than your way. And if we ask anything according to His will, hallelujah, He heareth us. And if we know He hears us, we know we have the petition we've desired of Him. When we pray to be more like Jesus, He goes to work within us. When we offer our body in that full surrender, the container of the whole of us, our spirit, soul, and body, when we offer ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is our reasonable service, and be no more conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We have a brand new mindset, and that is to be a fully surrendered, devoted disciple of Jesus Christ. Because the more we follow Him, the more we see what He's modeling to us. Amen. And we become more and more progressively like Him, and less like the old person we were before we came to know Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. Praise God. I'm so glad to know God's highest purpose for me and for you, if you're a child of God, a true child of God. And that is to become progressively more like Jesus. That's why He said in the church, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher, for a particular end, that we be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Amen. But we grow up into Him, Jesus, who is the head, to the fullness. And we all come to the unity of the faith. We come into this agreement with God for this purpose. Praise God after He saves us. Hallelujah. Amen. That we all come to the unity of the faith and to the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. Is that going to happen overnight when we surrender? No, but it's going to turn God loose in us. And that at that point, He will use everything that touches our life. Amen. He will weave it into the fabric of His eternal purpose, and that is that we be more and more progressively like Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's why He's always working, and we should sense the fact that, oh boy, I went through something that made me so angry. I lost it, but I repented and asked God to help me to humble myself and help me to forgive and help me to be more like Jesus and react in a different way than I used to react to the same stimulus. What used to make me mad made me mean. Did I hear a big amen out there, an oh me, or is it just going to be a dead silence? I got mad, I got mean. I don't know about you, but mad and mean go together. Amen. Jesus told us to be, oh, can you imagine this? He said, I take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in spirit. By the way, meekness is one of the products of the Holy Spirit. Amen. No. Not just lowly Jesus, meek and mild. Meekness is not weakness, dear friend. It is power under control. Glory be to God. Amen. No, He's not lowly, but He is meek. He is meek when He said, nevertheless, not what I will, but Thy will be done. He showed meekness, this character of meekness. Father, any other way, let the cup pass, but nevertheless, meekness is not weakness. It's power under control. And boy, when we get, amen, our temper under control, when we get our body under control, amen, crucifying the flesh, and the only way to get it under control, amen, is to put it to death. Amen. I don't mean physically harm yourself. I'm talking about not let the will of our flesh overrule and override our will to accomplish His will and to have His will done in our life. And that is to keep constantly working in us and through us to make us more and more like His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God. Are we walking? This is the challenge today. Are you walking? Am I walking? Are we walking as Christians in a way that represents an ongoing work to that end? Are we going to be more like Jesus next year? Are we going to be lose ground and start reverting back to our old man? The old man with all the old junk, because we're making concessions to the flesh, making compromise to the culture around us. Are we going to be, amen, true disciples of Jesus Christ, denying ourselves, taking up our cross? Deny yourself, offer yourself a living sacrifice. Sacrifice died on that altar. Amen. We don't die on it. We just die to self on it. And we come alive to God. Hallelujah. And His work is ongoing. We're not stagnant, stalemated people. If we hit a dead end, we make a decision to make a right-hand turn or a left-hand turn. I'm not talking about politics. Amen. I'm talking about, amen, a spiritual decision backed up by the force of our will and faith to follow Jesus' example in every circumstance of life. What would Jesus do is sold a whole lot of little bracelets and so much stuff. I wish I had a copyright on what would Jesus do. Well, what did He do? What did He do? We don't have to worry. We don't have to wonder. Just get in the Scripture. Find out what He did, how He handles it. Amen. That's what we're supposed to do in order to be more like Him. And that's what the Holy Spirit is in us to empower us to do. Oh, friend, listen. You should receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I'm a Pentecostal ilk. Amen. That's a limerick I used to. The reason I use that term, there was a limerick I learned in high school. And it said, a cow is of the bovine ilk. One end is moo and the other is milk. That's a limerick. Amen. I learned something in high school. And that's one of the things that stuck. Well, I'm of the Christian ilk. Amen. Hallelujah. And I don't know anything to rhyme with that, but I can tell you this. As a Christian, I am predestined to be more and more like Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Not by becoming more religious, but more relational with Him. Using Him as the template, Him as the model, looking to Jesus always. Hallelujah. As the author of my faith and the finisher of it. Glory be to God. God wants you and me to finish strong, but in the meantime, while we're running this race, looking to Jesus, amen, we are to become progressively more and more like Him. And we pick up momentum. We pick up the pace and we sense our destiny and we sense the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Hallelujah. Amen. Friend of mine, God wants to do this work in us for whom He did foreknow, He did predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son. Hallelujah. For we know then, therefore, that all things work together for good because they're all working toward that end. Even the suffering that we may be called to go through with sufficient grace to go through it that God provides can help us to be more like our Master. Amen. He learned obedience through the things he suffered. He didn't just get up one morning with a revelation of how to humble himself, take on himself the form of a servant, and be obedient to the death of the cross. He learned obedience through things that he suffered. The Bible said in 1 Peter, it says this. It says, "For as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind." See, renewed in the spirit of our mind. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord." Hallelujah. Arm yourself with the same mind. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, dear friend of mine, this is a message many Christians just don't want to hear, because it means that God may allow us to go through some tough things, and there may be some tough times. In fact, there surely will. Amen. The Bible said, "For as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind, for he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no more live his life to the will of the flesh, but to the will of God." And what is the will of God? What is that perfect and pure, hallelujah, will of God for us? That we become more and more progressively like his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We used to sing it. I don't think we really understood the import and impact of what we were saying. You have to be a real mature Christian to get this. Amen. To be like Jesus. We used to sing it, and we felt very meek while we sang it. But to walk it out, flesh it out, live it day by day in our life, allow God to take us through, not from, every trial. Hallelujah. And when we come out of that fiery trial, amen, we come out more like Jesus than when we went in, because he took us through instead of keeping us in a bubble. He took us through instead of keeping us from. And now we're becoming more like Jesus and less like we were before we came to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Think it not strange, the fiery trial that we're going through, the scripture teaches, as some strange thing has happened. I'm supposed to be in control of my destiny. I'm supposed to be, by faith, avoiding any pressure, any problems, any persecutions. Absolutely. Oh, give me some mustard and mayonnaise and maybe some cheese and make me a bologna sandwich out of so much bologna out there. Hallelujah. Oh, dear friend of mine. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said, listen, what will happen? After you have suffered for a while, if need be, he will establish, strengthen, and settle you. Glory to God. This is all about becoming more like Jesus and being established in our faith and our devotion like he was. Not perfect like he was, but progressively more and more like he was and is and always will be. Maybe it'll help you if you're going through a trial and wonder why God didn't keep you from it. Think it not strange, the fiery trial that we're going through, is some strange thing has happened unto us. Amen. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation, the trial, you see, not just the temptation to sin, but the trial, the temptation to doubt, to fear, to distrust God, to be disillusioned in the Lord. That's a real temptation. Amen. It can bring us to the sin of unbelief. Oh, friend, listen carefully. Think it not strange, the fiery trial that has come to try you, as some strange thing has happened unto you, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, who will with the temptation, it's not gone, make a way of escape, that you, not from it, but Are you still with me? Can I quote it in context, and can I quote it as it is written? Here's what I've heard, and I want you to hear the whole thing right today as we close. God won't put on you any more than you can bear. Somebody beat down, beleaguered, doubting God, wondering if he even exists. If he does, why doesn't he do something about this? No. God's not putting something on you. He is permitting, in his permissive will, you to go through something like he did the Apostle Paul. Amen. Who learned the lesson that I'm trying to get over to you, and that life's trials can bring us to a deeper understanding of his will and purpose in our life. Praise God, and we don't get disillusioned, and we don't doubt him, and we thank him for his faithfulness to take us through. Hallelujah. Now, if I had a choice, I wouldn't go through anything. Amen. But when I surrender my life, I give those choices to him. And here's what happens. We're talking about being pressed into molds. Amen. Listen. The Bible said in the old covenant, delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. You know what that means, delight in the Hebrew? It means to be soft and pliable. That's the root word for delight. It means to be fully surrendered to the will of God. Hallelujah, that his will can literally, actually, practically be done in our life on earth in us as it is in heaven. Praise God. Because when we want his way more than our way, amen, then his will is going to be done in earth, in us, in this clay vessel as it is in heaven. Praise God. And believe me, God will not hurt you. He will not harm you. And if you're going through a trial, he will offer you what he gave to Paul, and Paul received, a sufficient grace to endure and go through. And when you come out the other side, you will be another step in that progressive work of God, more and more like Jesus Christ. That's God's goal for you and me. Is it our goal? Amen. To allow him to work that work and to take us through whatever we need and must go through in order to achieve that end. Oh, there's some things coming that are so good. God has to remind us, like he did ancient Israel, I know my thoughts toward you. Don't ever doubt this, no matter what happens. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I'm going to quote this whole thing before we close once again. Think it not strange, the fiery trial which has come to try you, as some strange thing has happened unto you, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested above that you are able to bear, who will with the temptation make a way of escape, not from it, but escape from the intended purpose of it, to make us doubt, to become disillusioned with God, to be broken, beleaguered, cast down. Listen. Who will with the temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Hallelujah. What's the devil going to do when we don't give in and we don't give up and we lift our hands and say, Father, I don't get all of this. I don't understand all this, but I understand there's a purpose in it. I may not see it now, but I know there's a purpose, and I happen to know the purpose. For whom you did foreknow, you did predestine to be conformed to the image of your Son, and this must be part of that. The devil means it for evil. You're going to take it. You're going to use it for good. And something good is going to come out of this. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to lift these hands that hang down. And I'm going to lift this voice. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm going to give you praise, honor, and glory that you are at work in my life here and now. Take courage, child of God. It's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Praise God. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son. He's at work in us. Even when I don't see it, like the song says, He's working. When I don't feel it, He's working. Thank God for His work in our lives today. It keeps us stimulated. It keeps us feeling like something good is about to happen. Even though bad things are taking place, God is at work. And God overrules. He overrides. He subjects everything to His own will and purpose. Only we can resist that. The wind and rain can't. Hallelujah. Amen. Water can't help but be wine when God purposes it. But man can rebel. Man can resist God's work in us. God's great work, if you don't know Jesus, is to save you, reconcile you to Himself, forgive your sin. And if you will come to Christ today, He will begin the next work in you. Amen. You don't have to change yourself, but you have to change your mind. And you have to turn from darkness to light, from sin to Christ, from Satan to God. All you have to do is decide, I'm going to come to Jesus. I'm going to repent of my sin, come to Jesus, and receive Him as my Lord and Savior. God will take over. Christ will come to live in you. God will come to live in you. The Holy Spirit will come to live in you. And God will go to work by His Spirit within you to will and to do the work, to do of His good pleasure. He that's begun a good work will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Never doubt it for a moment.